This is the Ned and Josh podcast.
Injured in the workplace? Call John Little at Malaganas Edwards Johnson.
Hit 104.7.
Ned, yesterday was just swept up in some the Olympic spirit, I guess I'd say.
You were?
Yeah, I was.
Well, I know you went to an RSL at midday yesterday.
Yeah, so
the Olympic spirit, hard to not be swept up in the Olympic spirit.
Hit me in the form of day drinking yesterday, and I had some lunch, and what basically happened from there was decided to sit down in front of a big TV, have my chicken schnitty, and what was on at the exact time this was happening was the women's 1500-meter freestyle.
And I just... It sucks that it's at the beginning, but bar Kathy Freeman, swimming is where it's at for Australia.
Oh, yeah.
And it's
we
at
love
the beginning,
a bit of swimming.
Yeah. And then it's going to be done, and we're doing track and field, and we're not like we're not as prolific as we are at
track
swimming.
And field, yeah.
God, we're killing swimming at the moment.
We are loving it.
Even the rowing, we got the awesome foursome.
Yeah.
Awesome, like O-R-S-O-M-E. Like,
yeah.
Because both teams won, the male and female team won. We're just killing it on the water.
With the water. But I was very excited to sit down and watch, as I was saying, the 1500-meter freestyle yesterday. And I could not believe my eyes in a way, because I didn't realize, and this is stupid of me, I've never watched the 1500. It goes for literally 15 minutes. Like, it is non-stop swimming for 15 minutes. Katie Ledecky won the gold yesterday, did it in 15 minutes and 37 seconds. So near on 16 minutes of non-stop swimming. Up, down, up, down, up, down.
Mm.
And in that time, I finished my entire chicken schnitzel and schooner of beer.
Wow. Okay.
And I thought to myself...
You're trying to complete some kind of challenge?
I wasn't.
Okay.
And it happened accidentally.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, I have sat down... And by the way, good portion size on the schnitzel.
Yeah.
So I've sat down and eaten a full chicken schnitzel, chips, and had a beer in the time that these elite athletes have done... A feat of endurance mixed with speed that I couldn't even imagine completing in my life.
Yeah.
You give it the rest of my life, and I don't think I'd be able to swim for 16 minutes straight.
I think it was Sunday. Yeah, it was Sunday. I watched the skateboarding because I was super excited that it was the first time he was in the Olympics. And because it was a Sunday, I was tucking into a bit of KFC.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just, as I was watching these guys, like, sweat from just, like, pushing themselves forward on a bit of wood with wheels and grind down, as I'm, like, almost breaking out into sweats because my Zinger Burger is a little too hot.
Yes.
I'm like,
That'll happen.
From the same cloth. I'm just lucky. I know what the cutoff line will be. I've not, and I hope, I don't see myself doing, but not once have I thought, I could do that.
Yeah, no.
I haven't gotten there. Granted, I've been very lazy, but I've not gotten to the point where it's like, yeah, I could.
I did actually accomplish a rare feat yesterday while eating the chicken schnitzel, and it's rare because it doesn't usually happen with chicken, but I think I got the meat sweats a little bit. I actually think that was pretty rare for me. I was like, wow. I'm also kind of amazing myself, to be honest.
I thought you were going to say I dislodged my jaw like a snake and swallowed it whole. I'm like, yeah, that is impressive.
Would have taken 15 minutes, mate.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Quickly, just had a bit of an awkward moment last night.
Okay.
And it's one of the worst things that can happen in a way. You're calling somebody you care about the wrong name, someone from your past.
And, it's pretty awkward.
It is. It's tough because they know the person's name.
Yeah.
They know that, you know, this is a shared moment you would have had with that person.
Or even if they don't, they're like, who is this? And then you've got to explain it. You're like, oh, well, it's this person, but I promise I wasn't thinking about them. You are the same equivalent of that person now.
Yeah,
and so that role was filled by someone else before you.
Last night, I called Siri Alexa.
Oh, okay. So this is silly. So the worst thing that, honestly, it's more inconvenient for you than it is for anyone else, because that just means she won't answer you.
I'm going to say the word Alexa a lot, but I'm going to change it to Augusta so that I don't trigger anybody's smart speakers that are listening out there.
What are you going to call the S one?
Sandra.
Sandra.
Yeah, we'll go with Augusta and Sandra, and they can be stand-ins for Alexa and Siri, because I don't want to trigger everyone's stuff.
Yeah.
So basically what happened was I set an alarm on Augusta that then wakes me up in the morning, but I also set one on Sandra so that basically what happens is if one fails, the other takes over kind of thing, basically, because I don't trust computers apparently. But what happened was, because Augusta's kind of a new thing in my life. I've only had Augusta for about... probably, I'd say, 4 months. So I'm still...
Yeah. And it's funny to see how much of your life she controls as well, because I've come to your house before and, like, from the lounge, and you'll be like, Augusta, air conditioning! Augusta, oven on, please!
Yeah.
Augusta, air fryer, cook potatoes! It's like, how do you operate, usually?
It's incredible. It's absolutely amazing. I feel like some kind of modern Tony Stark-esque kind of... It's wonderful.
I will say that I've never heard Tony Stark sound as frantic as you. He never is like to jump. He's like, Jarvis! Quick! quick, dress me.
I just don't know why you're mocking me, because you've got an Augusta that does nothing.
I'm not mocking you at all. Yeah, no, he doesn't. No, she's a speaker. My Augusta is just a speaker.
Yeah, well, so is mine. Yeah. But anyway, the point here
that's
is...
That's all I use her for.
What I've done with this is I've basically gone to set the alarms, as I was explaining, and I've sort of said, hey, Augusta, set alarm for tomorrow morning. And Sandra, in this scenario, has almost... I know it's not the case because it's a computer,
yeah,
but the voice sounded sad.
Yeah, like you're projecting.
Yeah, it sounded a little bit. There was a gap, a longer gap than normal while it worked out what to do.
Yeah.
Probably because I threw the random name in there. Yeah, it was like, well, what do I do with that information? Oh, nothing, because that's not my name. And then it finally set the alarms and just sounded very sad.
Yeah, I think you're projecting. But it's good that you at least know that you did the wrong thing.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you, well, at least I feel like this is a lesson that you need to teach yourself. It's not a lesson that anyone else can teach you, especially when the other two parties involved in this don't have brains or emotions.
So what I try and stick to, this is the message I'm getting out there at the moment. If you've got a digital assistant, just try and keep one. I think just keeping the one is
one
the best way to go.
Good,
and we won't even mention Google because not involved in this conversation. But if I add Google into the whole mess as well, because I've got a Chromecast, it's potentially something I could do. Oh.
Don't have kids.
Good call. Very good call. Yeah.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Ned and Josh's job game.
That's what's happening now.
Correct. This is a game where you get on the phone 131060 if you have a job. That is the crime you've committed, being gainfully employed.
Yep.
Josh and I are private detectives.
Mm-hmm.
You'll come into our small little office. We'll interrogate you, ask vague-ish questions, and try and figure out what you do for a living.
Yes, that is right. Now, this is interesting because we've got Tara on the line from Everett. Do we normally do this on a Friday? It'd be different to see if our brains are working a bit better today. Tara, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, no, very good. Very thank good, you, Tara. Okay, I'm going to go with the first question this morning.
Please do.
Tara, is your job that we're guessing this morning your only job that you currently have?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're not working a second job. Okay, very good. That's a question we've never asked.
No, because that tells us more about Tara than it does about her job.
I think also for me, where I was going with that, just to explain my detective skills, was that maybe the job isn't a full-time, fully, you need a second job to go with it. So maybe it's like graphic design on a freelance basis or something like that. I don't know.
Tara, do you get an office with your job?
Yes.
Ooh, you get your own, and I mean I mean your own personal office. That's what I mean. You don't just go to an office.
It's a personal but shared office.
Interesting.
So you don't get
interesting due to the fact that it makes no sense.
So if you close, so if you walked into say your office and you closed the door, how many people could be in there?
It's different daily.
Oh, you were asking too many questions now. We're not being detectives anymore.
No, but I guess I'm just confused.
It was very confusing.
That is so confusing, Tara.
I actually think I maybe do kind of know based on what Tara's saying.
What are you thinking?
I am thinking, and we'll fade you down for a second, Tara, so we don't hear any kind of giveaway noises.
Well, I would love to hear something.
I'm feeling Tara might be a doctor.
I think she works at the RSPCA.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like, doctor or vet was kind of where my brain went. So we're going to lock in whoever paper scissors rock for humans or animals.
It's more likely for doctor than veterinarian.
Tara, I think we're going for it. This morning, our official question for you is, are you a doctor?
No.
That's disappointing.
Due to how often we ask this question and due to the 100% strike rate of no, I don't know if a lot of doctors listen to this show.
Okay. Yep, fair enough.
Seeing is the things we talk about, like what we talk about. You accidentally called Alexa Siri this morning.
Well, in fairness, two doctors, most Mercedes-Benzes do also get digital radio, so they got more options.
They got so many more options.
Hey, Tara, what do you do?
I'm a mental health support worker.
Oh, very, very cool.
I mean, we weren't even close.
Awesome job, but kind of still in sort of healthcare-ish area. I don't know.
Sorry, Tara. You still could go to Hands Like Houses.
Yeah, you're off to Hands Like Houses. Congratulations. That is happening tomorrow night at the UC Refectory.
Yeah.
And it is going to be absolutely awesome. That concert double pass to that. All yours. Well done, Tara. Another failure at the job game.
At this point, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, no, neither am I.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
Now, there is a campaign going at the moment, very, very simple. You've probably even heard some ads for it on the station. Essentially, it's about freeing the poo. Now, this is Icon Water begging people to stop flushing wet wipes down the toilet.
Yeah, they're because pretty bad.
It is creating, and we've only seen this in other places like New York and like big places with big sewer systems, what they call fatbergs. So what happens is in the sewage system, the wet wipes mix with like fat that people have put down the sink.
Yeah.
And they just join together and make these icebergs of wet wipes, basically.
Pretty foul.
It's gross.
It's one of the most disgusting things I could probably think of.
And it's
fat from the sink and wet wipes from the toilet.
There's literally some pictures that have gone out today of people that are having to get down into the sewer just to drive home the message of, hey, this is a real person's job. Mm. They have to go down and get this stuff, basically attack it with pitchforks to break it up so it'll keep flowing through.
It's foul.
Oh, it's just not good.
Yeah. I feel like if every Canberran had to go down there for not even a day, because I was going to say a day, that would take forever. If every Canberran had to go down there for like 20 minutes, I feel like that would eradicate this problem.
That's exactly what I was going to suggest. Just a rostered crew, basically.
Just a walkthrough cave tour of the underground sewage system and being like, see, this is a fatberg. Now, would you like to know what a fatberg is? Because if any of you here have flushed wet wipes down the toilet, you are responsible for a fatberg.
I know that there's definitely the temptation because it's so easy. But it's just, oh my God,
it's because
scary
you,
idea.
You assume it's the same as toilet paper. Mm. It's like you're using it the exact same way, so you assume you would get rid of it the exact same way.
What I enjoy here, though, is they've reminded everybody, and I always enjoy when there's like a little rhyme or something like that. They've said the three P's. Pee, poo, paper. That's all you're flushing down the toilet. Mm. And they've reminded everybody about that.
I just assumed wet wipes were paper.
Because yeah, no, they're cloth, they're apparently.
Oh,
and that's
what
people
are
clearing up. Apparently, the look of them as paper is there, very much cloth.
Mm.
So they don't break down. In fact, they're strong. They bound together and form.
Well, they absorb fat.
Fat birds.
Yeah.
Here's my thing, right? I feel like it's kind of, we don't need to stop this if for no other reason than it's like somebody's job to go and clean it up.
Yeah.
But also for the same reason, if that's not going to get it done, the main reason I would take away from here is that we're literally being lectured on how to use the toilet by the government, by agencies. It's kind of embarrassing.
Potty training
again.
Yeah,
we're potty training grown adults as a society, and it's kind of embarrassing.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Hey, Ned, speaking of very interesting, there's been a story that's gone a bit viral because it's lovely. Like, somebody's gone the extra mile to help their fellow human being.
Nice.
But it's also confusing to me because I don't know why you would in this particular scenario.
You just wouldn't bother.
Not help people in general, but in this particular scenario, why you would bother.
I think we all know what you meant.
Yeah, okay. What I mean is there has been an envelope found on the ground.
Okay.
By a lady over in the US, and she's opened it, and there's like a birthday card, greeting card thing in there, and inside of that is five crisp $100 bills.
$500
so
for
thinking
a birthday.
This must be like a 21st or so. It must be a special birthday.
Yeah.
And obviously it's been fallen out of maybe a postman's satchel, or it's not made it into the letterbox.
Yeah.
Or I don't know what's happened, but it's on the ground. And so this person has then taken it upon themselves to post it properly, get it to the right people, and if so facto.
Yeah.
I think she attached an extra note saying, found this
found
on the ground.
Aren't
I a great person?
Yeah.
Here it is. All money in contained.
Yeah.
And two things sprung to mind. I was like, imagine if like the auntie or the grandmother or whoever sent this money was like, there was 800 in there.
Yeah.
What do you mean all the money's
there's
in
no
there?
There's no way to prove it.
Because if you are the gift giver in that scenario, you could claim any
of
amount
course.
Of money was in there.
I think you would just be so grateful that it got back to you. But it's the same thing I thought of. Like, imagine how funny it would be. I was like, look, I really appreciate you returning your letter.
Mm.
You did, unfortunately, open it, which is a federal crime. So you are
going to
have
jail.
To spend between 5 and 10 years in prison.
I'm so,
sorry. But I really appreciate the $500.
Yeah.
Honestly, I would give you 20 out of it. But yeah, you actually do have to go to federal prison now.
Stingy Grandma Beatrice, though, could be like, hey, there was actually $1,000 in there. And she could look like a legend while also being a little bit angry. I think there's an amazing opportunity here to discuss whether or not you would have kept the $500 rather than send it on to the rightful person.
Yeah.
Because to me, yes is the answer to that question.
You would have kept it.
It's the right amount of money where it's a no harm, no foul situation. You're not going to have drug dealers coming after you.
Well, $500 is a bit of money.
It is a bit of money, but it's not seven grand.
So, yeah.
Like, if I found a suitcase with that much money in it, I'm handing that into the police because I don't want anyone coming looking for me.
Sure, of course.
I think
you've seen No Country for Old Men.
I think 500 is about right for just
I tell you what,
pocketing it and just going, oh, what a lucky day for me and an unlucky day for someone else.
I tell you, and this is like such a specific case, and it honestly does prove a little bit my rule. My rule is essentially, you find it, you keep it. Whatever, who cares? But at the same time, that's also not true. I think it was if it was over $500, I'd probably turn it in.
Yeah.
I think the fact that because it was in a birthday card, I'm like, I know that this was going to someone. So if I find randomly $100 on the street, I'm like, well, that's someone just lost that. Who cares? I know that this was someone's birthday money, and I'm like, ugh.
I mean,
I know that this person wants this.
I've seen Underbelly and other crime shows.
Yes.
Let me just tell you, if you find 55 grand in a duffel bag, that's also meant to be going to someone.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. But it's not for their birthday.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Authorities in Sri Lanka have uncovered something that is pretty incredible. Basically, there are a bunch of people that were doing some digging for a well in someone's backyard, and they've found what authorities believe is the world's largest cluster of sapphires.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Are they, is it a, I know very, very little about mining, but is it called a vein? Or is that only for iron and stuff?
I think that's gold. For gold. I think this is a cluster because it's like they're individual. You crack it open and it's like little
I guess
rocks.
They're like geodes and stuff.
The thing here is 1,124 pounds. So this website I'm reading is American website, but the translation there is 509 kilograms.
509
ton of sapphire.
Jesus. Well, I'm glad the record's huge, because it's like if someone was like, hey, we found the world's, when people go like, we found the world's biggest diamond, I'm like, oh my goodness, it'll be like a cubic zirconia. It'll be like something that you shoot in, like for something from space gets shot in a laser tube. And they're like, no, it weighs 3 grams. It's like, what?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, they're all tiny. So the fact that this one's the size of my thumbnail, that's impressive.
The interesting thing here for me with the purity of it, though, is that I don't know anything about carats. I mean, the vegetable or, quite frankly, the diamond sapphire measurement, but this is 2.5 million carats.
Wow. Okay, like,
cool. That's what it is, the collective find.
The only thing I know about carats is like when someone tells me something about their ring, and I have nothing to compare it to, but it's usually like, oh, this is 5 carats, or my
24
husband,
carats is like really fancy.
What does Biggie Small say? I put 5 carats in my baby girl's ear, or whatever.
So you got your little earring.
What did you say? 1 million carats.
2.5 million. It's incredible.
It can't be as worth as much as a diamond, surely.
It's incredible. They say the cluster could be worth up to $100 million.
Wow.
So there you go. Hey, just quickly, do you reckon this is why Canberra's constantly got roadworks?
Just
searching for stuff like this?
For gems.
Sorry, we accidentally don't know whether or not the gold vein that runs around Canberra is under Northbourne Avenue. We're just going to check for the next 15 to 30 years, if that's okay, guys.
You think there's a new gold rush and it's taking place in front of our tradies?
I didn't even think about that. The parkway, of course. Let's dig it up.
Tear up Hay Park. Yeah.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast.
Josh, Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher are married. They've got some kids together, and they were recently on a podcast, Dax Shepherd's podcast, if you need to know. And they were talking about, I don't know, just their bathing habits, I guess. I didn't listen to the podcast, so I really don't have any context for it. But it got to the point where they were saying that they only really wash their kids if they see dirt on them.
Yeah, right.
They don't give them like a daily bath or like a I don't know, once every other day bath. They only wash them when they see dirt on them. And them themselves, they don't really, they're like, we don't have showers every day. We kind of just like play it by ear, see how we go.
No. I don't like that idea.
I don't like that idea because I don't think people, and like I'm not like a germaphobe or whatever, but I don't think people realize how dirty you have to be able to visibly see dirt. Yeah.
Unless you're working on a construction site.
Yes.
Yeah. If you're in an office day in and day out and you have to wait till you see dirt.
Yes.
Oh,
because
me.
I don't think, and this is gross, but I don't think I've ever gone to the toilet and there's ever been anything visibly on my hands.
Yeah.
I still wash my hands every time I go to the toilet. Mm-hmm. Just because it's gross. This is what I'm saying about these kids.
I think by the same token, I've never taken my shirt off and gone, oh, I'm covered in dirt.
I
don't think it's ever happened.
Exactly.
So when would be the time?
Exactly.
You've got to know, at that point, they're saying this on this podcast, but you have to imagine this. If it hasn't happened by like a week, we just have a shower. Because you've got to think there's got to be a time limit on.
There's got to be a at some point. It's like, all right, even though you're not dirty, granted, you need to have a shower. Because it's been a fortnight.
It's been a fortnight.
I think it's so funny because this is it. The kids are so young that they don't really get a say. I remember when I was like three. It's not like I was like, can I have a shower?
And kids don't like the bath time. Some kids don't like it. Yeah,
I hated it because it was like my parents used to do the thing where I don't know how everyone's parents washed their hair, but like when they'd wash it and then they'd fill up like a jug and pour it over your head.
Yep, same.
I hated that.
Yeah, right.
Because I'd always get shampoo in my eyes. No matter how hard I squinted, I'd always get shampoo in my eyes, and I hated that. These kids probably are like, this is the, we're living the dream.
Yeah.
Essentially, we can get away without having to wash ever, and it's great.
These are the only kids on earth that don't like wanting to go and play and like make mud cakes and stuff like that. Like, oh, we got to stay clean.
Yeah, as long as we don't look dirty,
we don't have to get the weird jug thing, as long as we just stay clean.
We'll just go under the radar whilst being dirty while also not being visibly dirty.
Yeah, yeah.
I just... Also, but then they don't have an excuse themselves. Ashton and Mila are saying that they don't wash every up. Like, they just wash whenever they can find the time.
Can only imagine that they would have an absolutely breathtaking mansion. Yes. And it would just be an amazing place to go visit. And so now we've got the weird conundrum of, would you not want to go and visit the Kutchers?
The Kutchers, because they stink.
Because they might stink.
They might smell.
They've got a ball pit. Yeah. Ashton's got a poker table that can seat 20. It's just the coolest place to hang out. They've got a TV bigger than a cinema.
It'd be a real struggle.
But it does kind of stink over there.
The kids' schoolmates would be like,
yeah, that's going
to
be
don't
rough.
Don't go to the Kutchers. Yeah, granted, they have a million slides in their house, but it also reeks.
They're stinky slides.
That was the Ned and Josh. Ned and Josh podcast.
John Little, your Canberra Region Workers' Compensation Lawyer. MEJ.com.au.
Hit 104.7.